The Big Muddy Dance Company was founded 7 years ago next month. Since that time, the company has grown and has now begun to tour the Midwest. St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter has more on the company's latest projects.
Aaron Warner Prangy is Big Muddy's executive director. Robert Poe is a dancer with the company. Welcome to St. Louis On the Air, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You bet. This Saturday and Sunday, it's Spring at the Sun. Explain that.
So this upcoming production will be the culmination of our sixth season, and it is two different shows, Saturday night at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m. We will be showing four different pieces. The first one will actually be performed by our Elevate Student Project, and that is a group of 14 to 18-year-olds that work with one of our company members for about 6 weeks and choreograph and rehearse a new work. So they'll be presenting their new project that night. And then we will have three pieces by the company. One is an old favorite called Diphthong, choreographed by our artistic director, Brian Enos. And then we have two world premieres on the program this year.
All right. We'll ask you about those in just a little bit. I think you have 11 dancers in total.
We do.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Robert, how long have you been with the company?
I've been dancing with the Big Muddy for about 5 years now.
Uh-huh. And before that, what's your story?
Before that, I was immediately with the Missouri Ballet Theater here in St. Louis. And then before that, for 5 years, I danced with the Nashville Ballet.
How different do you find companies to be from one another?
Well, depending on what style of dancing the company does. For example, Nashville Ballet is, you know, obviously a classical ballet company that does some contemporary works, but they primarily specialize in classical dance. And Big Muddy, as you can tell, is the rep is not classically inclined. So there are quite a lot of differences.
How, Aaron, would you describe the work that your company does? What would you like to label it?
I would not like to label it, which is exactly how I would define our company. I think we do a huge mix of all different styles. We definitely have some ballet in there. We have some contemporary in there. We have some jazz. We have some theater and comedy. So I don't know that you can necessarily define us in one category, which is kind of what makes us the Big Muddy.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
I do. I would say if there's one definition of us, I think we're classy. Everything is pretty
classy, not classical.
Right, there you go. Yes.
Yes.
Well, you like to say, I think I've read in your literature, that one of your goals for the company is to invigorate life through dance. I'm kind of curious what you mean by that.
So that is actually our mission statement, and kind of everything that we do, all of our activities and programming sort of funnel through that statement. Our educational programs, our senior outreach program, our main stage productions, we're trying to change people's lives. We're trying to give them a new perspective. We're trying to make their lives better through dance and through exposing them to new ideas in dance.
Mm-hmm. Spring at the Sun. I don't know if you meant that to be a play on words, because you're referring to the Sun Theater here in Grand Center, which
yes.
has been renovated. It also made me think about dancers leaping to the sun.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me how you came up with that.
Well, this is the second time we will be doing this titled production, and Spring at the Sun is just kind of the idea that we are springing into action. We want our audience members to spring into action and join us there. And since it is the last main stage production of our season, it's a really exciting moment for the dancers as well.
Mm-hmm. Robert, tell me exactly what you'll be doing at Spring at the Sun. I think you have a number towards the end or the end?
I do. So I'm the very opening number, which will be Diphthong. That's the audience favorite that Aaron mentioned earlier. I'm not cast in, but then I do have an opportunity to perform in both of the other world premieres. And so in the second world premiere, which is also a work by Brian Enos, there's just a quick little fun, upbeat, no worries kind of duet that I perform with one of our dancers, Christina Sahaida.
Well, we brought up Brian Enos' name a couple of times. He's the artistic director. Been with you, I guess, 6 years?
Three years. Two and a half, three. Yeah.
I only doubled it. But Brian couldn't be here. He's doing some work in Grand Rapids with the ballet there today.
He is. He's working with Grand Rapids Ballet. He's setting a full-length production of Alice in Wonderland with them.
I remember meeting him when he first took this position, when he came to town. And had he previously been in Chicago?
Yes. He spent quite a long time dancing with Hubbard Street Dance Chicago, and then several years after that just traveling around the U.S. and choreographing.
Well, what's Brian brought to the company these past 3 years?
Oh, many things. His vision is very forward-thinking. He is constantly on the hunt for new choreographers and emerging artists around the country that we can bring in. He really loves that versatile mix of different styles in the repertoire. And so he's constantly looking for artists of different voices and styles for that. He himself comes from a pretty classical ballet background, other than his Hubbard Street years. So he has
Houston Ballet, I think.
Houston right? Ballet before that. So he has quite a history of mixing the ballet and contemporary together, and he brings that to the table, definitely.
What are your thoughts about working with Brian Robert?
I think he elevates the perspective of the room, meaning whatever critique he might give, whatever choreography he comes up with, is definitely something for you to think on and not just run into, you know. Mm-hmm.
You both mentioned the first number that you start with and you were saying it was a favorite. I don't recognize it, so tell me about it.
We've only performed it once before in St. Louis, and that was last January at the pageant. But it has six dancers in it, and it's just fun. It's a fun, kind of lighthearted piece that has really intricate music and really intricate rhythms. All the dancers joke that Brian's brain is like an abacus. He just loves numbers and counts and the puzzle of putting all of that together into something that is magical whenever you see it. And that's absolutely what this piece is. It's almost as if the dancer's movement is showing what the music is. I mean, it's like they're orchestrating the music themselves. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you're part of that, Robert. Robert, you're performing in Brian's new work, right?
I am, yes.
Could you talk a little bit more about what that's all about?
Sure. The music, first of all, is kind of all over the spectrum. We were all trying to figure out what exactly his inspiration was when we heard all the different selections. There's about six or seven different music selections in that one work. You know, some of them are much slower, and which gives you a bit of a contemplative idea. And then a couple of those musical numbers are a lot faster, very complex choreography.
So does it tell us a story?
I think so.
It does. So all of the music in this new piece, the title of the piece is called Worlds of Wonder, and this will be the world premiere of that work. All of the music is, and sections of movement are inspired by old films. And so just as old films would be, it runs the gamut of different ideas and storylines and styles and kind of brings the whole group together to tell our own story through the thread of all these different vignettes.
Mm-hmm. That's a long piece, isn't it?
It's 33 minutes. Yes, it is a long one. Absolutely.
What's the most challenging, Robert, of anything you're doing in this upcoming performance? I shouldn't ask what you've had trouble with, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, honestly, one of the sections, we nicknamed it the wagon wheel. It's just fast, and it's repetitive, and it's, you know, it's high energy. It's a lot of fun, but it really takes the breath out of you.
Tell me about Kevin Jenkins, who this person is and why they're in town.
Sure. Kevin Jenkins was in town with the company a few weeks ago. He is from Boston, or I shouldn't say he's from there. He lives there now. And he is the founder of Garage Contemporary Ballet out in California and currently is a faculty member of the Boston Ballet School. So he has a lot of ballet and contemporary and even hip-hop background, actually. And so he came in and set a rather darker piece, I think, than what he normally does on the company. And he also, he's new to setting ensemble pieces. So this was one of his few big group pieces that he has set. And it was really interesting working with him because he's very precise. He has an eye that just immediately, if anyone is even like a centimeter off, his eye will go to it immediately. And so it was a bit of a process getting everyone exactly together because we're all different proportions, sizes, you know. I mean, we have very different bodies as a company, but he cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and really was a stickler about the movement itself. And I think it really reads in a way that makes it very effective. The ensemble is dancing around a couple. And the story behind the piece is actually the story of Kevin's friend who lost his wife in childbirth. As the ensemble, we are sort of these non-human entities that are sort of tearing them apart in a way. So it has a very sad undertone to it, and it talks a lot about just the process of grieving and loss and recovery from that, but it's beautiful.
We're talking with Aaron Warner Prangy and Robert Poe from Big Muddy Dance Company. Is there anything else in the program you'd like to share with us?
Those are all of the pieces that we have on the program. We're actually announcing our next season that night. So trying to get everyone's foot in the door for next year already.
Aaron, think back for a moment. You know, Big Muddy hasn't been around that long, relatively speaking. So I'm just curious about your observations since you were there from day one.
Right.
Just where you've come in the last 2 years with the addition of Brian and everything else.
Yeah, you know, it's quite amazing to have seen this process unfold from just a small group of dancers that were volunteering and dancing in any venue we possibly could to starting to be selective in the productions that we do around the community. And for other people to be calling us and asking us to come in and represent the St. Louis dance community and to help promote other causes through our dance, that says a lot, I think. Yeah. And it's come a long way.
And Robert, you've been there for most of that. I understand the company's at least beginning, I think, now to do a little touring. What's that been like?
It's always a good time when we get to tour. It's funny that we had some of the dancers that were performing at the Fox. I don't remember what show, but they would come and take class with us, and they would talk about, oh, we're on tour, and, you know, the humdrum of tour life, and we're not there yet. Every time we get to tour anywhere, we're excited. You know?
Some of the dancers from a touring company that were at the Fox came to work with you guys?
They just come to take class in the morning.
We're right down the street from the Fox Theater, so since we offer professional-level dance classes in the mornings, many times cast members from the shows there will come take class with us.
That's got to be really interesting.
It's fun, yeah.
Well, listen, at the end of the month, you're going to be at Wash U's Edison Theater to be part of a benefit event. Tell me about that.
We are. It's called the Drea's Dream Gala. It is put on by St. Louis Academy of Dance and the Andrea Rizzo Foundation. It raises money for kids with cancer at the Cardinal Glennon Hospital. They use dance therapy as a form to, you know, get the kids moving and just use that as a tool to better their status. And we're really proud to be involved with the Drea's Dream Gala. This is our fourth year, I believe, with them. We've established this really great partnership.
And a couple of other dance companies are involved too.
Yes, Ashley Leanne Dance Company and the Washington University Dance Collective will also be involved.
Well, you guys are busy. When Robert and the other dancers are at the Drea's Dream Gala, you also are doing another event.
We are. We have two events that same weekend. The other one is at the Webster University Dance Department performance. We did a collaboration a couple months back in January, choreographed by Tom Dancy, one of our dancers, called Bright Lights, Still Bodies. And that is about a half hour long work that the Webster Dance Department collaborated with the Big Muddy on to perform at our January show. And they'll be doing kind of a reverse cast of that for the April 29th weekend.
Robert, I'm wondering if you're involved in some of the other things that Big Muddy does. You know, they have trainee programs, senior outreach, they have that summer intensive. Do you do any of that?
I do. I'm actually honored to be on the senior outreach committee. So it's comprised of several people who have seen what we do at the Big Muddy with our senior outreach, and we want to further develop it so we can serve our community better.
Aaron, what would you like to say about those other things that you do, not
sure.
on stage?
Sure. We actually have some really exciting things coming up for the Senior Embrace program. We have a research team put together.
Maybe you should explain that, what
yes,
it is.
Yes, thank you. So Senior Embrace is our senior citizen outreach program in which we visit about 30 retirement home locations in the St. Louis area every season. So we bring our repertoire that we've performed on stage in the past. We kind of pick and choose from that collection to offer them pieces that kind of speak a little bit more to their generation and have a little bit more familiar music and movement. But otherwise, it goes straight from the stage into their facilities. We're dancing in dining rooms. We're ducking under chandeliers. It's a whole big thing. So we have expanded that program now to include a hands-on movement workshop for Alzheimer's and dementia patients. We're currently working with a research team of lots of different specialists. We have a physical therapist. We have a physician of nursing that specializes in dancing for older adults. We have the head of gerontology from UMSL. So we have quite an amazing team that's working with us to actually establish a published study on what the effects are of this workshop once we get it going.
Wow.
So we're really excited about the direction that that's going to take us into. We have no idea at this point.
What about, Robert, that summer intensive? Is that that's for young people, though, right?
It is. We have an what is the age range for our first intensive?
10 to 13 is the first week. Mm-hmm.
And then we have another college age separate intensive as well.
Well, I was reading about it, and I thought it was interesting because classes in the summer intensive include one on mental toughness.
Yes.
So how does that relate to dancing? How tough do you have to be mentally, Robert?
That's a great question. The woman who conducts that class is one of our very own dancers, Dr. Ellen Hinkle-Reed. She's pretty amazing, actually, as just as a natural, just who she is. But she's also worked with some sports and athletic figures that have to figure out how to overcome whatever they might need to so they can better perform. And so she brings those practices into the studio for our dancers.
She works with sports psychologist Jason Selk. And he is the one who actually established this program and works with a lot of individuals, both athletic and executive. And so she works hand in hand with him on that project.
And I understand if you get through the program, you get a T-shirt.
That's right. You do get a T-shirt.
One final thing I want to ask you about. You know, I've been in the Sun Theater. I bet a lot of people haven't because it hasn't been reopened that long. And I'm not sure how many events they've had there. But it's an interesting place and it's got an interesting history. So I don't know, what are your thoughts about performing that space? Are there any particular challenges there or positives to it, for that matter?
There are both, for sure. The backstage area, you know, where the dancers or performers would dwell most of the time is a little unfinished. So it's a little tricky figuring out where you're going to put yourself and making sure you're standing on a clean floor that doesn't have any, you know, nails or remnants on it. But the house is a beautiful, beautiful house.
I think the majority of the funds for that renovation went to the audience space, to the house itself, which is absolutely where it should have gone. I think the biggest challenge for us as an organization to be in there is the lack of lighting capabilities because mm-hmm. they have no overhead rigging. They only have front lighting. So we typically have to rent a lighting package to go in there. But by the time all is said and done, the audience has a wonderful experience, and that's really what we're there for.
And you like a challenge, Robert, right?
Always.
Well, thank you both for joining us. We'll look forward to both your performances this week, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
That was Big Money Dance Company Executive Director Aaron Warner-Prangy and dancer Robert Poe speaking with Steve Potter. The Big Money presents Spring at the Sun in performances Saturday night at 8 and Sunday afternoon at 2 in the Sun Theater on Grandel Square. The company will also participate in the 7th annual Drea's Dream Gala on April 29th at Washington University's Edison Theater. You can find more information at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.